You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Nobody fools God. People may think they fool God, but they fool only themselves.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by Dr. Oswald Hoffman, Lutheran Hour speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
Lord God, you are in control of the world, and nobody fools you. Give us the insight and the heart to see how we need your forgiveness and how great it is to live in the power of your Holy Spirit. Empower us in faith toward your Son Jesus to live as your children, trusting you, loving you, and walking in your ways. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, we pray. Amen. Nothing is more common to the land throughout the world than sowing and reaping. Somehow the seed must be sown, and somehow it comes up to become a harvest. Talk about sowing and reaping can be understood by anyone, anywhere. The principle of sowing and reaping was used by St. Paul in his letter to the Corinthians as an example of what happens in human life. He that sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows generously will also reap generously. Sowing and reaping appear frequently as lessons taught by Jesus Christ. The kingdom of heaven, he said, is like a sower sowing his seed. And he went on to tell what happened with that seed. It's quite a story, with quite an explanation. It ends up with a statement of Jesus Christ: the seed is the word of God. St. Peter talked about the seed as the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. It produces a certain kind of fruit, which comes only from that seed. Other seeds produce other kinds of fruit. But the seed of the Word of God produces the kind of life that God wants to see from that seed. Sow other kinds of seed, and you get other kinds of fruit. St. Paul called attention to this fact. Be not deceived, he said. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Nobody fools God, said St. Paul. They may think they fool God, but they fool only themselves. A lot of people apparently are fooling themselves. They think they are sowing the seeds of pleasure, and they reap the crop of corruption. One hardly needs to mention the wide open field these days for that kind of activity. The loose sexual life that many people pursue because, as they say, everybody is doing it. Everybody may be doing it, although even that is surely not true. But it still doesn't change anything. Whoever sows to his own flesh will of his own flesh reap corruption. People are finding that out today all over the world. Venereal disease is a fact of life in almost every country of the world. And even worse are the sick souls that are trying to live with all the guilt that this kind of life produces. Whoever sows to his own flesh will of the flesh reap what he gets, and that's corruption. The same thing is true of excessive emphasis on almost anything: anxiety, drinking, work, drugs, and a lot of things that are not necessarily bad, but turn out to be bad when they are misused. The minds and bodies of people show the results. We reap what we sow. Devotion to money and other illusions of power are self-consuming, leading to eventual disappointment and disillusionment. Some of the worst tragedies in the world have happened to people who expected to find hope in material possessions and found trash instead. We reap what we sow. Carelessness and recklessness with automobiles, with tools and toys, with taking chances, self-deceiving and often self-destroying, have often invited danger that ended in trauma or tragedy. We reap what we sow. Neglect and excess always take their toll. It's the law of life. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. If you sow that kind of seed, then you grow that kind of crop. We reap what we sow. Deplete the natural resources of the earth without regard for future generations, and you reap what you sow. Engage in irrational pride and racial antagonism, and you reap what you sow. Show contempt for other people. Speak nastily about them, and you reap what you sow. They may be hurt, but you may be hurt even worse. We reap what we sow. Perpetuate the sins, superstitions, and stupidities of the past into the present, and you reap what you sow. It's not enough to say, that's the way we've always done it. People in the past sowed their seed too, and reaped what they sowed. It seems to be the nature of humanity to keep on making the same mistakes, to keep sowing the same seeds, and to keep on reaping exactly what previous generations have sowed. We reap what we sow. There are even well-meaning older people who tell young people that they have to sow their wild oats. It's a nice way of saying that young people have to make the same mistakes that their fathers and forefathers made before them. It's not necessarily true. It is certainly true that those young people will reap exactly what they sow. If you sell out for the price of compulsion, or the need for excitement, or the desire for a fling, you will get exactly what you ask for. You will reap what you sow. People may deceive themselves for a while, but they never deceive God for a moment. God is not deceived. God is not mocked. He laughs in the heavens. And he also cries at the ways in which people sow the seeds of decay and disappointment and despair and death. In pain, he watches the whole world harvesting its wild oats. As true as it is that we reap what we sow, it won't do you much good just to recognize and know that. The fact is, you know it very well, and you might just as well recognize it. Even then it won't do you any good, because knowing the law has no saving value. If you try to live only by that law, you will have little peace, less joy, and no hope or promise to harvest. Knowing the law, you can become a first-class Pharisee or a fanatic, but it won't help you to remove or to resist those works of the flesh that St. Paul was talking about. Those works of the flesh are not only open defiance and crass transgression of God's law. The works of the flesh are all of that selfishness, envy, ambition, and downright nastiness which are part of the human condition. They affect us all. They are, as St. Paul enumerated them, immorality, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, selfishness, dissension, party spirit, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. Paul said, those are the sins and the works of the flesh. They're the things that make people slaves to their own drives and ambitions, victims of their own deception. God is not deceived. God is not mocked. Sow the seeds of the flesh, and you will almost certainly reap the harvest of corruption. The picking of that harvest is death. That's no way to live. You know it and I know it. What else is there? Nothing at all. Unless, of course, you listen to St. Paul. He who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap life eternal. St. Paul's not talking about some vague spirit like the spirit of man, or the spirit of good, or the spirit of progress, or the spirit of anything else, no matter how attractive it may be. He's talking about the spirit of God. When Paul talked about the spirit of God, he knew exactly what he was talking about. He's not some vague spirit, even though you cannot see him. You can see where he's been and what he's about. The spirit is like the wind, said Jesus. You don't know where it's coming from and you don't know where it's going, but you know exactly where it is. The spirit of God is the personal spirit of the living God. It is the spirit who anointed Jesus Christ to be the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Through the spirit of God, Jesus moved about doing good. Through the power of the Spirit, he overcame even death itself. In the glory of the Spirit, he rose from the dead and promised to send his Spirit upon his faithful followers. The Spirit, he said, comes from me and my Father. The work of the Spirit of God is to tell people about Jesus Christ and about the forgiveness of their sins in Jesus Christ. It's the power of the Spirit that causes people to have faith in Jesus Christ, which the Spirit himself installs in the hearts of people with the good news of Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God is God himself doing his great work in the world of bringing people around, turning them away from themselves to God and from the slavery of the flesh to willing obedience to God. That doesn't sound very exciting to a lot of people. It may not sound very exciting to you, unless, of course, having life seems a lot better to you than resigning yourself to death. Sowing the seed of the Spirit and reaping the crop of the Spirit gets to be just as exciting as being saved at the last moment from a horrible accident. Sowing to the Spirit means letting the seed of the Word of God grow in your life. It's accepting the good news of God in Jesus Christ and reveling in the forgiveness of God. It's like looking the other way toward God, letting the power of God do its work in your life. It's having faith in Christ and loving God. It's having faith in Christ and loving your fellow human beings. It's having faith in Christ and hope for the years to come. This is sowing the seed of the Spirit, producing love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's the seed and the crop of the Spirit. The seed of the Spirit grows in the fertile soil of the Spirit. What you sow there is what you reap. If sowing to the flesh reaps corruption, sowing to the Spirit reaps eternal life, said St. Paul. Living the life of rebellion against God results in exactly what that kind of life always produces. Living a life of faith in God and love toward God and your fellow human beings produces exactly what that kind of life always produces. It isn't that you produce it, it's that the flesh produces its kind of crop and the Spirit produces his kind of crop. The fruit of the Spirit is not death, it's life. It's eternal life. Jesus himself said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it lives to bear much fruit." He made that truth come true himself by his own death and resurrection. In the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God is at work in the world to convince people that this is the way to live. It's by faith in Christ crucified and risen again that people acquire new life. It's by faith and love that life gets its real meaning. It's by sowing to the Spirit that people come to know how wonderful eternal life is right here and now. It's by sowing to the Spirit that they acquire the hope of eternal life in all its glory and enjoy its grace right now as a down payment of the Spirit himself. Wherever God sends his Spirit, God himself visits people with his own life in Jesus Christ. Wherever God sends his Spirit, God himself is growing a people after his own heart, blessing them with the gifts of faith and love and joy and hope and peace. Sending his own Spirit, God forgives and promises to deliver people from the ultimate fate of reaping what they have sown to their own flesh, and of reaping instead the seed of faith which the Spirit sows, which is eternal life. God delivers what he promises. God promises life. That's what faith in Christ is all about. It's faith in Christ that causes people to confess their sins, turn from evil, share the word of God, and serve one another in love, doing good to all men and engaging in all those other actions which St. Paul describes as the fruit, the evidence, the gifts of God's Holy Spirit. Yes, you sow what you reap. Sow sparingly, said Paul, of the seed of the Spirit, and you reap also sparingly. Sow generously, and you reap generously. It's the new law of the new life. A friend of mine asked people in his congregation to tell some of the things they have learned from life out of their faith in Christ with the gift of the Spirit God has given to them. These are some of the things they said they had learned. Without the ability to love and receive love, there is no real reason for living, said one. I have learned not to take loved ones for granted, said another. I've learned that the joy of living is giving. I've learned that my parents are smarter than I once thought. I've learned that life is too short to hold grudges or bitterness toward others. I have learned the power of a smile and a kind word. I have learned that material things give just fleeting pleasure and that the greatest gift is peace and love you receive through Christ. I've learned that God still performs miracles. I've learned that you will never be tested beyond what you can endure. I've learned in the face of adversity to remember this too shall pass away. I've learned, said the last one, that God has a reason for everything that happens and that God does not close one door without opening another. Those are practical conclusions of real people who found out how true it is. Sow to the flesh and you reap corruption. Sow to the Spirit and you will reap eternal life. The faith of Christ in the power of the Spirit expresses itself in practical ways, all of which can be summed up in one word, which is love. It's a cup of cold water in the name of Jesus. It's kindness done in the name of Jesus. As Jesus Christ himself said, such things done in faith and love will by no means lose their reward. What you sow, you will reap. It is as old as the hills and as new as this morning. It's as sure as death to those who sow to the flesh. And it is as great as life, eternal life, to all who sow to the Spirit. Amen.